Well, again, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you all here today. You know, there's those moments in life when you're standing there and you realize that what is happening didn't start with you. Maybe it's a phrase that you find yourself saying that you remember your mom saying or your grandmother saying. Maybe there's a habit that occurs and it's occurred generationally. Maybe it's a conviction or a way to responding to hardship. Maybe it's simply a way of trusting in God. And if we trace it back far enough, we'll often find that particularly this faith was formed in someone else. Someone who invested, someone who prayed, someone who lived out their faith out loud in front of you. You know, on this Mother's Day, we pause to recognize something that is easy to overlook, but impossible to overstate. Faith is often formed through the lived faith of the people around us. We see this in the faith of our parents and our grandparents. We see this in the faith of the people who live around us, and it has an impact upon us. The Apostle Paul understood this deeply. And as he is writing this letter, likely from a Roman prison, he knows that his time on earth is short, and he's reflecting upon a young leader by the name of Timothy. In one of the most tender personal moments in all of Scripture, Paul says this: "I am reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you." You know, Paul starts with his faith, and then he traces it back to the women who shaped it. And this is what we need to hear this morning, church, that a sincere, lived-out faith has the power to shape generations. And what we see in this passage is that God often builds his kingdom not through platform moments, but through faithful, everyday influence. This morning, I want to share with you some thoughts regarding this passage and talking about the importance of a sincere, lived-out faith. The first thought is this, is that faith is modeled before it is taught. Faith is modeled before it's taught. Paul uses this powerful phrase in 2 Timothy 1:5, right? He says, your sincere faith. And this carries with it this idea of something genuine, something unhypocritical or without pretense. It's not a performance for Timothy. And in other words, Timothy just didn't hear about the faith. He saw it. He saw it in Lois. He saw it in Eunice. Right, long before Timothy ever preached a sermon, he watched someone else live one. Lois and Eunice didn't have a stage. They didn't have a microphone. They didn't have a title that history would celebrate in their lifetime. But they had something so much more important. They had consistency. They lived a faith that Timothy could see. I believe that they prayed when things were uncertain. They trusted God when circumstances were difficult. They anchored their lives in something deeper than emotion or culture. And Timothy absorbed it. And I think this is a freeing thought for every parent, every grandparent, every spiritual influence, that you don't have to be perfect to pass on the faith. But you do have to be real. Sincerity, honesty, a humble, authentic faith creates space for others to see what it looks like to follow God in real life. In our own Wesleyan tradition, we often talk about holiness of heart and life. And it's not about an outward perfection, but it's about an inward transformation that shows up outwardly over time. Lois and Eunice lived out this kind of holiness. These women weren't flawless, but they were faithful. And their faithfulness shaped Timothy. And so I guess a question for us this morning as we gather today is, what kind of faith are people seeing in you? What is the faith that you are living out loud for the younger children in your life to see? Not just what you say, but what you show. Because faith is always modeled before it's taught. Now, secondly, faith is passed down intentionally. You know, Paul says this. He says that this faith was first lived in Lois and Eunice. And the phrase, it suggests something active. That faith didn't accidentally drift into Timothy's life. It was a faith that was cultivated. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that Timothy had a unique family dynamic. His mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. And this means that his spiritual formation likely required some intentional effort. Right? It didn't happen by accident or by default. And that's the same as today. Right? Faith doesn't automatically pass down from one generation to another generation. Every generation has to receive it and own it and live it. Now, this doesn't mean we're passive in this process. Right? Lois and Eunice didn't simply hope that Timothy would figure it out. They were intentional about shaping his spiritual life. They taught him the scriptures. They helped form his understanding of God. They created an environment where faith could grow. In fact, later in the same letter, Paul writes this in 2 Timothy 3:15. He says, "From infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Right? From infancy. This means long before Timothy could understand, he was being formed. Imagine his mother and his grandmothers reading scripture and praying over him. Whether he understood or not, it helped form him. And this really matters, church, because we live in a world that is constantly forming people. Right? We, our children, our grandchildren, are constantly being formed through media and culture and relationships and experiences. And if we're not intentional about spiritual formation, then something else will be. They will be learning how to act, how to live, how to have faith in this world through something, through someone. Because faith formation isn't just information, it is about immersion. It's about creating rhythms where God isn't some occasional topic that we talk about, but a continual presence in our lives. It's the conversations that we have over the dinner table. It's about the prayers that we have before we make decisions. It's about how scripture is woven into everyday life or how repentance is modeled when we fail. It's about how grace is extended when others fail. This doesn't require a seminary degree. It simply requires intentionality on our parts. And here's where it becomes important for everyone. Not just for mothers, but for everyone. Right? Spiritual influence is not limited to biological relationships. Some of the most powerful faith-shaping relationships in Scripture and in life are spiritual. They're not biological. Right? Paul himself was a spiritual father to Timothy. The church is meant to be a family of formation where faith is nurtured across generations. Vacation Bible School is not taught by a bunch of fifth graders who are teaching their contemporaries. It's taught by the adults, by moms and dads, by grandparents, wanting to intentionally pass down the faith in other generations. On this Rosedale mission trip, if you look through those names, there are two family relationships, John and Christian, and Sharon and Brianna, that are traveling. You know, parents teaching their children what it means to be missional. And so whether you are a parent or a grandparent or a mentor for one of our confirmands, a small group leader, a Sunday school teacher, or maybe you simply are here at church recognizing the children when they come in here, telling them that it's important that you are here, that the church needs them. We all have the opportunity to help shape someone else's faith. And this doesn't happen accidentally, but it happens intentionally. Thirdly, faith creates a legacy that lives beyond a lifetime. And Paul says in that passage, he says, "I am persuaded that now lives within you." He is saying that I am persuaded that now lives within you once lived in Lois. What lived in Eunice now lives in Timothy. Right? This is the kind of legacy that we should all hope to help shape. Not a legacy that's measured in wealth or accomplishment, but a legacy that is measured in transformed lives. Lois may have never imagined that her faith would influence a young pastor that would help lead the early church. Eunice may never have seen the full impact of her prayers and her teaching. But their faith didn't end with them, it continued. Because that's how God works. You know, we live in a culture today that celebrates instant results. Right? We want to see the impact now. We want measurable outcomes. We want visible success. But spiritual legacy often unfolds slowly and quietly and over time. In fact, we may not see the full impact of our faithfulness in our lifetime. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. Because every prayer you pray, every scripture that you share, every moment of integrity that you model, every act of grace you extend is planting seeds. And with God's help, those seeds will grow. Sometimes they'll grow in ways that you never would have expected. Sometimes they grow long after you're gone. Again, I think this is deeply rooted in our own Wesleyan understanding of grace, particularly prevenient grace. The idea that God is at work in our lives before we can fully even recognize it. And what Lois and Eunice invested in Timothy, or when they were investing in Timothy, they were cooperating with a God who was already at work in Timothy's life. And the same is true for us, that we are not responsible for saving anyone. But we are called to be faithful in pointing people to the one who does. And that's the kind of faith that creates a legacy. And so what does that look like for us today? Let me offer a couple different practical ways to help us live this out. First of all, you know, prioritize presence over perfection. Yeah, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to get everything right. But we do need to be present. Because our faith is often passed along It's often caught in the ordinary moments of life. It's caught in the car rides, in the meals, in the conversations, in the shared struggles. Don't underestimate the power of simply being there and living your faith consistently. And secondly, make faith a daily rhythm. If faith is something that only shows up occasionally, it's going to feel optional. But when faith becomes an expected part of the rhythm of our lives, it becomes foundational. Right? Simple practices matter. Praying together, reading scripture together, talking about God in everyday situations and circumstances, reflecting about how God is at work around us. You know, simply asking the question, where have you seen God at work today? Helps to open our eyes to how God is at work in our lives today. They don't have to be long or complicated discussions, but they do need to be consistent. Now, thirdly, embrace your role as a spiritual influencer. Or you may not feel qualified to do it. You may not feel like in your life you've done everything right. But church, God doesn't use perfect people. He uses available people. You know, someone is watching your life. Someone is being shaped by your faith. So lean into it. So here's the fourth point. That we need to trust God with the outcome. And this may be the hardest part of building a spiritual legacy. Because I know that there are some here today who have prayed, who have invested, who have done everything that they know to do, and they still haven't seen the hope, haven't seen the fruit that they hoped for. And if that's you, I want you to hear this. Your responsibility is faithfulness, not control. God loves the people that you are praying for even more than you do. And God is still at work, even when you can't see it. You know, Paul, nearing the end of his life, reflects on Timothy's faith, and he traces it back to his grandmother. He traces it back to a mother. These two women never stood in a spotlight, but their faith changed the trajectory of a life. And through that life, they impacted countless others. Because that is the power of a faith that is sincere. It's a faith that is passed on. It is a faith that is lived. It's a faith that shapes generations. And so today we honor mothers and we give thanks to our grandmothers and we celebrate the women, we celebrate the men who have invested spiritually in us, who invested spiritually in others. But more than that, we are reminded of our calling, that we are to live a faith that is real. That we are to share a faith that is intentional, and we are to trust God with a legacy that goes beyond us. Because what lives in you today, by God's grace, will live in someone else tomorrow. And may it continue for generations to come. Now let us pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of those who shaped our faith, for mothers and grandmothers, for mentors, for spiritual guides, for the people who taught us in Sunday school class and led us in Vacation Bible School. We give you thanks for every unseen prayer and every quiet act of faithfulness. Today, Lord, we ask that you help us to live a sincere faith, real and authentic and rooted in you. Give us wisdom to invest in others intentionally, and give us the trust to believe that you are working beyond what we can see. May what you have placed in us not stop with us, but help it to flow into the lives of others for your glory and for generations to come. Jesus, it's in your name we pray today. Amen. My grandmother passed away in 1992. My grandfather passed away a year later in 1993. They passed away almost, it was like a year and a week apart from one another. I grew up going to my grandparents on a weekly basis. Every Saturday night, every Sunday afternoon was spent at my grandparents' house. And was very blessed by that relationship. You know, it wasn't until after my grandparents' death. I saw my grandfather live out his faith. He was a little bit more vocal about his faith. He was able to attend church. My grandmother was largely a shut-in. But after their passing, looking through my grandmother's Bible, we found prayers and scriptures. You know, I wish we would have had those conversations. I wish my grandmother would have shared those things. You know, I think sometimes we get the feeling that our faith is our faith, right? It's private, it's personal. And it's not, it's communal, church. Our faith is meant to have an impact on someone else. So moms, dads, grandma and grandpas, if you've never talked to your children or your grandchildren about your faith, make sure you do it. Make sure they know what you believe and why you believe it and why it's important. Pass your faith on, because the kingdom of God is depending upon it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for you today. We are grateful for the love that you have shown to us, especially through the lives of our mothers. Lord, thank you for these incredible blessings in our lives, and God, we give you thanks for them. And Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity today to again proclaim your goodness and to share our faith with the generations that come after us. Lord, help us to remember that as soon as we leave here, that we are entering into the mission field. That every dinner table conversation, every conversation in a car can be a missional conversation where we are passing down our faith. And so, Jesus, here we are. We pray that you would use us for your kingdom's work. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day and happy Mother's Day.